This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9. Tonight, with Jane and Abby, Lauren's decided that she's going to take a little bit of a rest.
Lucky thing, isn't she?
She is very lucky.
Wish I could take a rest from my job.
I'd like to take a rest from my job.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You have a job at the moment?
No.
There you go.
But so, yeah, sometimes I do like to get out there and do things occasionally.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah. Tonight we'll be talking to the sibling of a transgender parent. This I think is going to be interesting because we've never actually spoken to a sibling before. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. So we'll get a slightly different perspective.
A very different take on the whole thing. That'd be excellent.
Yes. And what have you been doing?
Me? I have been doing some band stuff with the Melbourne Rainbow Band.
Mm-hmm.
We had a concert, a show at the Numurkah Food Bowl Music Festival. That's it.
Ooh.
Got it right. which was very, very awesome. I met lots of interesting musicians there. It was hot as hell. But really good. We hired a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Went down and had a bus trip. Took my 3-year-old son, William. He loved it. Everyone in the band loved him. It was really exciting.
And you said it was very hot. Yes, I know we've had some warm weather.
It was over 30 at least.
Oh, okay.
And dry.
Oh, no rain, no snow. When I was driving in tonight, they actually said that there was some possibilities of some snow on the ranges.
No way.
It wasn't very warm when I was driving in, but I didn't think it was that cold.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't humid because it's not really good for the instruments.
I don't know. It's a long time since I've played a musical instrument. I tried to learn the recorder when I was a little kid.
Yeah, we all did.
And I didn't get very far.
Well, at least I graduated to clarinet. It's like a big version of the recorder.
Oh, okay. The only highlight it's actually a very good highlight from last week. Went to La Trobe University for the presentation of my partner's sister's doctorate.
Oh, what?
So we officially have a doctor in the family.
Okay, what was she studying? Researching, I should say.
Doctorate of Philosophy in Geriatric Aged Care.
Okay.
Looking at a social model rather than a clinical model.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Kinda.
Kinda?
Yeah.
I think it took her about 10 years to get there.
Wow. What, from start to finish or just...
Yeah, from start to finish.
Okay.
It's quite a big operation. I think it's nearly 400-page document.
What a thesis at the end, Good on her.
Yeah. Coming up, we'll be having a talk to Joshua and seeing what life is like from the perspective of a trans sibling. You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Totally bent.
You're listening to Transmission Time with Jane and Abby. I'm on Joy 94.9 with... And tonight we have a very special guest in the studio, Joshua Hewitt. Over the years that we've been looking at the transitioning process with a number of different people, we've always looked at it from the perspective of the trans person themselves, whether it was from male to female or female to male. But we've never really looked at the process from the perspective of the sibling that is often caught up in the process. Tonight we have actor-playwright Joshua Hewitt, whose father transitioned from male to female about 10 years ago. Josh was also writing a play about gender issues, and we'll get around to talking about that a little bit later. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you. Hi.
First of all, I suppose we should find a little bit of background about you. I believe you originally lived in Brisbane.
I did, yeah.
And moved down to Melbourne?
Sensible choice.
Yeah, yeah. I came down to Melbourne to go to the VCA.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what brought me to Melbourne, and now I don't like going home.
You like it too much down there.
I do, I love it. It's such a great city.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I couldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah, no, me either now. I used to go home for Christmas, and now I do my best to get out of that.
So you get all the family coming down here now,
do you? Well, we attempt to, but it's good. I really like it.
Okay. Been in any sort of plays or anything that I would know, or are they all sort of obscure little ones?
Probably more so the obscure. I've pretty much, since I've come out of VCA, I've done predominantly theatre, and that's the background for myself, and that's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hence you know, starting to write my own. Theatre is my thing.
Okay. Yeah. You aren't interested in TV or...
Oh, it's not that I'm not interested, but I think they're harder mediums, firstly, to get into as an actor. And it's limited here as to, you know, what you can do and what's happening at any one time. And opportunity has to be there. And for me at the moment, that hasn't happened. So.
Fair okay. Yeah. Are you with, like, a crew of people with theatre productions or...
It varies, really, and that's more so what I'm trying to do now is kind of get together a group of people that I can continue to work with. But in general, as an actor, you just are an actor for hire.
Okay.
And you're just this solo being out there kind of, you know, living your life and doing 100 things to get by in the process.
Like, do you think working in Melbourne can actually survive on an actor's wage?
I think it's very limited in terms of anyone who can survive. You know, it's a very... You are told the percentage is something like 99% of actors are out of work.
That's true.
And it's true. You know, it really is, because the industry is so small here in Australia. Mm. It's limited as to who can be employed at any one time. So you have to have 100 jobs.
Yeah. And there's only one gang.
Fair enough. Were you in anything during the recent... Fringe Festival?
No, I didn't do anything in the Fringe this year.
Okay.
So,
but you've been on
I have been in the Fringe before in the past, yes.
Okay, well, this year was the first year that I actually went and saw stuff.
Right.
Because I have friends who do production and lighting and things like
it
that.
It tends to be when I go too. And I went out this year because there were multiple friends who were things.
It seemed that acting in Australia is going to be a very tough road to follow, but it's probably not quite as tough as the road that your father has been down in the last few years. As I said in the introduction, your father started transitioned about 10 years ago and now lives full-time as Karen.
Yep.
I suppose the first thing is, did he come as a shock?
I think I have to say yes, it did. Mm-hmm. But for me, the initial shock was really the separation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had what I perceived to be, you know, the most normal, average family you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the shock was when I was told that they were separating, because that came from absolutely left of field. I wasn't ready for that at all. And it was quite interesting because I didn't ask why.
Okay.
3 to 4 weeks went by before I was actually told the reason why. And that was a choice that, you know, my parents had made. But I just don't remember being interested in knowing why. I just was interested.
Just that it was happening.
Just that
was
it was
enough,
happening and trying to deal with that.
And so how old were you when this process started happening?
I was 17. I was in final year of high school. You know, I guess it was a time when I was preparing to come out of school and head out into the world. So I was dealing with enough kind of things as it was. And I just, you know, it's funny when you perceive a family just to be normal and natural and have no sense of anything. It's interesting, though, I think back now and I can see little signifiers along the way that I should have picked up on. Just the way, just family interactions, you know. I think back about times where there were conversations that happened in a whisper, you know, away from me and...
Only between your parents or with other family members as well?
Particularly between my parents. Mm-hmm. But I do also remember, I have a sister as well. Mm-hmm. And so I do also remember occasions where she was obviously far more aware of the situation than I was. I don't know. You know, she found out ahead of me to the extent that, you know, it was. But it was interesting to kind of think back and think about those little signifiers along the way of possibly where I should have picked up that
did
something
wasn't Did you pick up
right.
any, like, mood or depression issues as well, or was it...?
Probably not so much depression, and I guess I've learnt more about that now, you know, as an adult and dealing with the things that I've dealt with. I just wouldn't have thought about it. You know, living in Queensland, I grew up in a family where... You didn't think about those kind of things, you know. You were either happy or you were sad. You know, there was no reason for being those things. And transgenderism was the last thing on my mind, you know, as was being gay or lesbian or any of those things. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting just growing up in a very closed environment.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So you weren't aware that Karen had some gender issues and was cross-dressing. They basically came totally out of the blue.
Totally out of the blue.
Did your mother know sort of very much ahead of time, do you think, you know, for years? Or
this is the interesting thing, that Mum knew for 10 years of their marriage. And I find that extraordinary. Yeah.
So it was all kept very, very secret from both you and your sister.
For everybody. You know, I guess back in that time, they lived on with the perception that they could beat it. Mm-hmm. That there was, you know, that they were going to find the cure.
Mm. We're still looking.
And that's the perception that they had. You know, and I admire my mother for staying for as long as she did. You know, I think it's a testament to her of the kind of woman that she is. Mm. But she obviously set down some strict ground rules.
I bet, yeah.
But that's the way it's sort of sounding, in that no one was going to be told.
No, yeah. No. It was a closed conversation.
Yeah.
And in a way, it kind of still is today.
Oh, okay.
How does that make you feel? That it was kept secret for so long?
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Because I don't know how I would have dealt with it at that time.
Yeah.
I think it came at the right time for me, because it came at a time where I was, you know, reaching a level of maturity. But what it did from that point in time, it sure made me question a lot of things that I don't think I would have.
Okay. Mm.
And I honestly don't think that I'd be the person I am today had it not happened.
Mm. So you feel that it's enriched your life?
Yep.
Excellent.
Well and truly.
How about your sister? Has it had much effect on her as well?
Probably a very different effect. She's gay. The thing for her was that she had enough trouble dealing with her own issues, and this kind of just kind of added on top of it, you know, as an extra thing. But fine, you know? Yeah.
So the core family dealt with it fairly well, you would say?
I think the two siblings did. And mum has over time, to the point now where she will go out and have coffee. And okay. But again, there are boundaries to that too.
Are they still friends?
Very much so, yeah. You know, still talk to one another. But there are certain environments that Karen is not brought into.
Okay.
And look, and I kind of understand that in a way.
So are they sort of family-type environments or basically social out in the street type
environments? There are some social environments. There certainly are some family environments. There are some family who made it very clear that the day that, in their words, this decision was made, that was it.
Because it's a decision.
Yes. Well, you know, and that's the way they see it, as a decision. And I think that's the thing that I've learnt over time, that there's no decision, there's no choice. It's that or, you know.
Or you don't want to think of the
no,
or, yeah.
Or the others, no.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we better give your voice a bit of a rest at the moment. You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Totally bent.
You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9 with Jane and Abby. And we're talking to Joshua, whose father transitioned from male to female about 10 years ago. We've talked about sort of some of your relationships. Once Karen started her transition, what were your feelings towards her? Did they change in any way?
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I think it was interesting because I remember as it sunk in, you know, going to mum and saying, right, so dad's going to wear a dress. And, you know, and they were the first kind of things that I had. And I remember the first time going out in public and catching myself walking behind and watching other people. Not watching her at all, watching everybody else. And, of course, you know, that has changed over time as you just become more comfortable. Yeah. And I don't, you know, to the point now where I don't even think about it, not even twice. Mm. Yeah.
Your attitudes have basically changed from being sort of, well, do I really want to be associated with this person, to basically now, yes, I want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's come not only from becoming more comfortable with it, but also becoming more comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, it's not about me, you know, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. They're entitled to have that thought, whatever that is. But she's just a person.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. She's just a person like anybody else.
How has it changed the dynamic of the relationship between you and...
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question, because it's something that I can honestly say that I've really only begun to deal with this year. That it's really sunk in that I don't have a dad anymore. You know, flat out, I don't. Because the relationship is not a parental...
Son, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not that, and it's not parental.
Oh, really?
No. I think that's how much it's changed. Wow. That for me, it's a friendship. It's something that this is a person that, yes, you know, they are my parent and will always be my parent. But we don't have that relationship. It's this friendship where we discuss anything and everything and it's up for grabs.
And so there's none of those sort of father-son type talks or activities anymore?
No, yeah. No. And,
were there?
I guess so early on.
Yeah.
But then the relationship changed very, very quickly. And look, that's probably as much me as it is her, because I don't know why, but that's what it's become.
Okay.
Do you think that Karen has sort of, well, she's obviously changed, but has she become sort of like a more relaxed person to talk to? I'm just wondering whether previously she might have been on edge all the time because of something she was hiding, and a lot of that's gone now?
I would say that she's comfortable now because, you know, she is absolutely who she is. And and she has no reservations about that. And that's easy to be around when you have that person. Yeah. But it's interesting because she has changed absolutely. That's why I think the relationship had to change, because she's become a different person. And I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, it's another personality that's come out. It's just this other person who has embraced who they thought that, you know, who they absolutely, honestly believed their entire life.
As opposed to who they were pretending to be.
As they were pretending to be, absolutely. Yeah. And now I've met that person.
Okay. The person that's inside has developed.
Oh, it's yes. Probably the way I've put it. Yeah. And been allowed to. Okay. Yeah. I think that's the thing.
Yeah. Not suppressed.
No.
Mm. You mentioned earlier that your sister was sort of comfortable.
Yeah.
10 years down the track, has that changed? Is she a lot more comfortable?
Look, I think everybody within the immediate family is much more comfortable. I was brought up with the principle of unconditional love, and I think that's the reason why I was so easy and quick to accept, because I didn't want to lose this person. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the choice that I had. I had that choice. I could have said, look, I'm sorry, I just can't deal with this at all, and I'm out, but I didn't.
What about your friends? I mean, at the time you were 17, you would have had a tight-knit social group. Were they told straight away, or...?
I was always very, very selective about the way that... about who I would tell and the way that I would tell them. And I had a group of friends who were absolutely fabulous.
Yep.
But there were friends that went completely awry, that I thought that I was doing the right thing by telling them and by letting them in.
Yep.
And I remember one in particular being, he'd come around the house quite a few times, because at this time I spent 3 years living with Karen. And, he would come around and then I remember going to his parents' house one night before going out, and I got absolutely grilled by the parents about having a transgendered parent and
Were they curious or just...
No, it was just
an inquisition.
Outright. To the point where I actually walked out and left and never spoke to that person again.
Wow. Mm.
You get that. There are always going to be people that are just
that
not
don't
going
understand,
to...
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't want to.
As part of sort of the learning sort of an understanding, did you do sort of much reading or research?
Karen was very good with that. She would offer up as much information, and she did a lot of that throughout time, and she often would go to universities and the police academy and do lectures, and so I would often go along there, and so I would learn just as much out of that. But the interesting thing was is that the students and the police officers were always quite interested in my perspective, more so than
than hers.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if they're wondering, maybe taking the way they should act as a cue from you.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe that is the...
I find that actually very interesting that they're interested in your story maybe a bit more than they were in Karen's.
Yeah, and look, and that's part of the reason why I'm happy to talk about it, because if that's what I can do, you know, if I can make people just relax and see them, you know, as people... then that's, you know...
That's excellent. Yeah, well, that's a really, really positive attitude.
Yeah. So it's been interesting.
Okay. I bet.
We'll be back shortly and continue talking to Josh.
Joy 94.9, totally bent.
You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9 with Jane and Abby, and we're talking to Joshua, whose father transitioned male to female about 10 years ago. Now, we've spoken a lot about your relationship with your father, but you're now married, and so I'd just like to talk a little bit about the relationship with your wife and how your father's transition has affected that.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose first thing is, when did you tell her? And I'm assuming it wasn't on your first date either.
No, definitely not on the first date. I was kind of outed without me doing it. I was out with my housemates at the time, and Karen was actually coming down to stay for a weekend, and one of my housemates said it mentioned Karen's name, and of course that absolutely tweaked Danielle's interest. And I just said, look, you know, that's something I'll talk about when I'm kind of ready, and you know, yep. And I think she was okay with that. And I was pretty early on, though, I'd have to say,
So the big question, how did she react?
She was fine. Absolutely fine, I think, and I think that's because we both work in the arts, and I think that we both are people who are very open and honest about ourselves and the way we live our lives. And look, you know, it obviously was intrigue and lots of questions, and
I can imagine that.
Know, yeah.
But at the same time, too, I never felt in any way that it shifted the relationship
okay. So I assume that she was okay when she actually met Karen for the first time.
Yeah,
she was cool about it.
Nervous.
Yeah.
Very nervous. And I think, you know, that's to be expected in a way. Yep. Regardless, you know, she's meeting a parent at the same time too. So you've got that element. But yeah, nervous. And I was nervous too. Yeah.
And I assume that has improved over the years, that she's a lot more comfortable now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to the point now where Karen will call and I won't talk to Karen. You know, she'll call to talk to Danielle. or she'll send Danielle parcels and things like that, you know. So, yeah.
Okay. That's very positive. And do you think in any ways that the Karen's transition has actually brought you sort of closer together than what you would have been otherwise?
Possibly. But, you know, that side of things never really affects... Well, has never really had an enormous impact or effect on our relationship.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, it is, yeah. You know, and I guess it's different too. It probably would be different if Karen lived here, you know, in Melbourne. She doesn't, so, you know, that might have changed things in the early initial stages, mm-hmm. but no.
I think we all have weird parents.
Yeah.
My parents are out there.
It's all in degrees of weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. The main kind of point of interest really was having to tell Danielle's parents, you know, and that had to happen, obviously, when we were getting married.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so.
You know, and that was probably one of the times in my life where I just had no sense of... how to do it, what to say.
Yeah.
But life goes on.
Did they take it well? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And, you know, again, a testament to the kind of people that they are.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. And it was all that fuss for nothing.
For nothing. Yeah. Exactly. All that stress for nothing.
I want to jump ahead a little bit here. And this is probably going to be a very difficult question for your answer. Do you have any sort of idea of how you're going to explain this to any children that you might have later on?
Oh, that is a good question and a difficult question. I guess I will do it the way that I have with everybody else that I've ever explained it to, and that is as honestly and as openly as I can, and allow people to react in whatever way they want, and to see where, you know, see where the cards fall at the end of that, because I can't dictate how they're going to feel about that. But what I can do is just show them the kind of person that I am and hope that that's enough to send them down the same path.
Yes.
You know, I think I said before that I absolutely wouldn't be the person I am today without this experience in my life. And I hope that I'm able to pass that on to
well, children are a blank slate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And young children are very, very adaptable to things that are normally considered weird in society.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Look, and who knows, hopefully by the time that that comes around, maybe, you know, societies.
Yeah.
Well, would have improved
the
little
points
steps,
might have changed slightly. Who knows?
I wouldn't hold your breath.
No, I know, but, you know.
The zeitgeist
gotta,
moves
gotta
very
positive.
Slowly.
Got to look positively.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we talked about sort of in the very beginning, or mentioned at the very beginning of the show, you're writing a play about gender issues.
Mm.
Is this sort of based totally on your own experiences, or have you done some research, or what?
Yeah, look, it is something that's going to come from multiple perspectives. Of course, you know, I can't help but have a personal element
in
there.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
But I think the thing for me is this is a significant part of my life, and I look at it as something that I have to share. And so, yes, there will be my perspective. Yes, there will be Karen's perspective. But also, I want to take in other perspectives as well, you know, because I think that it's something that's really important that we, as a society, get to the point where we can embrace transgenderism just as we have any other thing that's come along, and I think that we should, and that's part of it for me.
If there's one thing I've learnt by meeting so many transgendered people in my travels, is that everyone has a completely different story to tell. No matter who you talk to, it's always different.
Absolutely.
There are the same elements in it, but it's always different.
Yeah.
And it's quite fascinating
to
hear. And every person you ask will tell you a slightly different story.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, and part of the research for me has been going out and reading, watching films, watching documentaries, but also beginning now to talk to people from the transgendered community. Also, you know, I would hope that I can also talk to people if coming from the same perspective as
you
I
are,
am,
yes.
You know, siblings or other family members, you know, partners, etc.
Or even parents.
Absolutely, yeah. Because that for me needs to be a part of the piece that I'm writing, because they're just as much a significant part of these relationships, and they're often the forgotten part of it, I think, that the transgendered person is just put out there as themselves and nothing else, and no one ever thinks about the kind of other people that are around and the effects that this has on them. And it's so, for some people, it's absolutely significant that they make the choice so much that they will never see this person again. You know, Karen is in the position where there are family and friends who have said, that's it, I'm done, you know.
Yeah.
I find that absolutely mind-boggling that someone can do that, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
Joshua, we just had a message from somebody in South Australia. Hi, I'm writing to ask you to pass on my thanks to Josh for his openness and honesty in speaking about such a difficult issue of family and identity issues. Regards from Guy.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks, Guy.
I didn't know we reached all the way there. I'm sure you're listening to the streaming,
internet. I take it that you are still doing a little bit of research?
Yeah, look, we're very much in the early stages, and research is an important element for me because I really want it to cover... I want to feel like when we get to the point that it kind of gets up and going, that I have covered all my bases and that...
It's fully rounded.
Yeah, you know, and that it does come across that I know what I'm talking about.
Yep,
that's always helpful.
Yeah, and not just my own perspective, that there are, as you said, you know, everybody's got a story.
Everyone
regardless
gets affected by it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, very much still in the research phase.
Okay. Very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Since you're still looking for people,
yep.
How can they contact you?
Sure. Well, I'm happy to pass on my email address, and if people want it, they can either call in or I'm not sure how.
People can leave a message on the Transmission Time blog, which is available via the Joy website, or you can email us here at transmissiontime@joy.org.au.
Absolutely. And so, look, any perspective I'm more than happy to have. You know, even if you have a perspective about it, you know, that you may not be directly affected by it, but that you have...
Just little anecdotes.
You know, a perception of it, then that's of interest to me as well, because, you know, it affects everybody. When we go out into society, everybody's affected by it. So,
Okay. Now, the $64 question.
Ooh.
You like that one?
I do.
When's your play going to be finished?
That's a really good question. Look, I have a a time frame that I'd like to think that hopefully by the end of this year or early into next year that I have a script. Mm-hmm. And so then it will be really about kind of workshopping it from there. And so, you know, beginning to look at creative development. And really, I don't want to just put this thing up and have it happen once and it never happen again. Mm-hmm. For me, it's something that I want to see, make sure that I go about it the right way and the full way so yeah. that it, by the time it gets up at the end, that I'm absolutely ecstatic with what I've got. Mm-hmm. But it's also something that is going to last a long time and yep. possibly take, you know, not only around Australia but overseas cool. as well.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming in tonight and sharing your story
it
with us.
It's been absolutely fascinating.
It's been really good.
Thank you.
Good luck with the play.
Thanks.
Please let us know when it's available.
I will.
Yeah.
We'll
possibly have another chat.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we'll come and watch it too and pass comment.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on. It's been great.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Okay. And anyway, it's sort of about that time that we have to wrap up. So thank you very much for listening. Good night, Abby.
Good night, Jane.
Good night.
Good night.
Joy 94.9. Totally bent.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.